Welcome, everybody, to Practical Living. We have great tips for you that you don't want to miss. Have your paper and pen ready so that you can write down whatever it is that you don't want to forget. We have practical matters, practical health, and much more. But before we go any further, let's ponder our practical thought.
Thank you, Andriette. Welcome, guys. I'm Dumisani Mfune, and I want to tell you more about my friend, Jesus. Now, we all have a sense of good and bad. A lot of people might give you interesting theories as to where this sense of good and bad comes from, but it's very simple. When our great, I don't know how many great grandparents disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, that disobedience kind of opened up the world to sin, as it were, sort of some sort of Pandora's box, okay? And because of that, we're doomed. All the problems that we have now can be traced back to that one singular incident in the Bible, right? Now, I want to tell you more about what my friend can do, considering this problem that we're in, okay? Before I get into that, though, let's see what Manjla has in store for us in Practical Matters. Welcome to Practical Matters. For those of you who have just joined us, you have been missing out. Well, I don't want you guys to feel bad any longer. I'll get right into it. With us today is our good old friend, Manjla. And we've been looking at communication. The last time we kind of looked at the differences you should be aware of and how you can bring up this topic. Manjla, what do you have in store for us today?
Today I'd like us to talk about information sharing.
Information sharing.
Yes.
Wow. Sounds like you're getting into IT. Information sharing. Okay, well, what's involved in information sharing?
I have found many times we fight because our spouses shared information with their friends or relatives or somebody else that we felt was private.
So, well, I don't know. Do you have to feel that something is private? Isn't, like, by definition, aren't there some things that are just obviously private? Oh,
let me ask you this so that you can understand. If you are planning to move to the UK, planning to move to the UK, do you think it's appropriate for your spouse to be discussing it with her friends? We are planning to move to the UK.
Oh, it's none of their business.
Ah, but what if she's just sharing? What's the harm? Now, you may be uncomfortable. You may be feeling, no, but how can we be? It's still in the planning phases, you know? Yes, when there's something concrete, yes, we can share that. But it's, if it's still too early, then why? One of the reasons, for example, I'm a bit uncomfortable with sharing information at that early stage is I have found myself having to account when things have changed. Everybody who knew you were planning to move to the UK, if you're not moving, they keep on asking you, so when are you going to the UK? You have to explain every time you see them why you're not going. You have to explain every hiccup along the way because they knew. So I feel it's just less work for me for them not to know until something is definite. But then my spouse may not feel that way. So talk about the kind of information you want shared. What kind of information would you like to share with who? You have best friends. How deep do you go with your best friends in terms of talking about your relationship? When you're married, would you want your wife's best friends to know what happens in the bedroom? Because they're best friends, for heaven's sake. They've been talking about stuff like this, you know? So you discuss those things. What kind of information do you not want to go to your parents, to your wife or to your husband's parents when you are married? When there's a problem, what do you want? Do you want to go to a minister? Do you want to go to a psychologist? Do you want to go to a friend? Where do you want to go?
Hold on, man. You talked about what type of information you don't want to go to your parents.
Yes.
So you're implying that when people finally do get married, there's some things that the parents don't need to know.
Of course. This is your marriage between you and your spouse. Your spouse can't be going to your parents with every little thing. You can't be going to your parents with every little thing. You have to decide this is your own family things. So if you, for example, let's assume you decided to take a loan and to try and start up a business or do whatever and it didn't work out and you're paying it back. Do you want your entire family knowing that? You may not want that.
I see.
Do you understand? You may be struggling to fall pregnant, and you are going to fertility clinics. Do you want everybody in the family to be sitting down and discussing the fact that you're having problems with falling pregnant and you're going to fertility clinics? You may not want that. Okay. And because of that, you will sit down and decide, look, there are certain things I wouldn't want. I'd like to have remain between the two of us. Do you understand? And so you talk about those things. Talk about it now before there's an issue, before you end up fighting with your wife about something that has already been shared, or before you fight with your husband about something that has already been shared. Talk about it. I've heard people who say that once you get a huge amount of money, whether it's a payout for an investment or whatever, some people win the lotto, and someone will say, no, if I ever were to get a huge amount of money, I wouldn't want other people to know. Because next thing they'll come asking for loans and asking for gifts and the money's gone and keep quiet. But the other wants to share the good news. We just got a huge amount of money. Talk about it.
I see.
Talk about the kind of things you'd like to have keep between the two of you and the kind of things you'd like to share with other people. Because if you don't talk about these things and agree on them, you end up fighting over them. You end up fighting about how can you feel that your privacy has been violated. What about your past would you like to have shared with other people? What happens if your wife was sexually abused by an uncle when she was young? Is she comfortable with you sharing that with your brother, with your friend, with your cousin? Is she comfortable with that? Talk about those. You know, you may say, but it happened long ago. It doesn't matter. You may have a sense that, well, it gives her a unique perspective. She's able to help people who have gone through similar situations. But what if she's not ready to do that? So talk about the kind of things you may want to share and the kind of things you may not want to share. So even if it comes to your past, even when it comes to your weaknesses, do you want that shared? Your wife may feel that you're a bit lazy, but do you want her sharing that with her friends and with your friends? Hey, my husband is lazy. Do you want that? No, you may not want that shared because you may feel it hits at you. Mm-hmm. It's an attack on you. So talk about the things you would like to have shared with other people and the things you would not like to have shared with other people. It's easier to talk about things you don't want to have shared with other people. That way, everything else is fine. But the kind of things you say, these kind of things, I wouldn't want this shared with other people. Because I found a lot of couples who fought because they hadn't had the opportunity to sit down and define the kind of things they would like to keep within themselves and the kind of things they'd like to share with everybody else. Plans, things that have happened, things that are currently going on, health conditions, financial situation that you have, your mm-hmm. debt levels, your income. Some people are even uncomfortable sharing your salary. You know, some people are very uncomfortable. You ask them how much money do you... Do you know how inappropriate it feels to ask somebody how much they make? It's funny, you may be in the same office, having the same job.
That's true.
You may even have a sense because you probably have the same grade as the person. You're both secretaries or you're both managers. You're both directors. You're both human resource practitioners. You're both engineers. You're both teachers in the same grade. But people hardly ever come out and say, how much do you earn? I earn so much and give you a figure. People don't do that. Now, what if your spouse is uncomfortable? They feel money is money. Money is money, so it doesn't matter. So I make so much money. You may be uncomfortable.
Okay.
So talk about those things. Do you feel pay slips are confidential matters? Talk about those things. If you feel pay slips are confidential, they're confidential. Keep that. Talk about things you do not want to have released to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Content of your fights, what you fought about. What kind of fights can you share? What kind of fights can you not share? Talk about those things. That. Yes. That way you don't end up having to fight about things that you don't have to.
Well, guys, it seems that what Mandela has been telling us is don't take anything for granted. Whatever it is, don't take anything for granted. Talk about what makes you happy, about what makes you cry. And in this particular case, talk about what information you want disclosed so that when you do decide to get married, there are no surprises in the future when something, you know, when you hear a neighbor commenting on whatever it is, then you understand no one is surprised. Okay, well, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. Till next time, I'm Dumisani Mfune.
And I'm Mandlalo Pondwana.
Thank you. Wouldn't it be great if there was a way you could teach all your enemies a lesson? One they'd never forget? Well, there is. The Bible tells us that we can heap burning coals on their heads. Romans 12 verse 20 says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So next time someone be-enemies you, forgive them. Then go out there and do something good for them.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
I was telling you about the problems that we have, you know, war, hatred, jealousy, a lot of the diseases. This was not God's intention for us. And we will see his intention for us in heaven. We need to make it there, okay? And Jesus is the key to get to heaven. The Bible is clear, really, really clear. Jesus is the key. If you're sick and tired of what's around you, then listen closely to what I'm about to tell you. So, I read from Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 22. Although you wash yourself with soda and use an abundance of soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the sovereign Lord. What is he saying here? We do realize that we're not as we should be, okay? Sin, we know that it just makes us filthy in the sight of God. And we try so much to clean ourselves. You know, we try to be good. We try to help the needy. All these are good things. But God says that that still doesn't quite make up. Or the word that the Bible likes using is that doesn't atone, okay? We have all sinned. And we can try as much as we want to kind of clean ourselves, but we can't because we're so immersed in this sin that it takes someone who's spotless, who hasn't sinned, who's sort of outside of all the sin that we are so entangled in, to show us how and to even pay the penalty for it. You know what? Jesus fits that description perfectly well. He came to this world from where he was. He changed form and he was like us. Even though he created us, he became like us. That's cool, eh? Well, I'll tell you more after. Consider this.
Welcome back to Consider This. Today we're speaking about a hot topic, sexuality. And today in the studio we have Rudy here. Rudy, how are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Good, man. Now, Rudy, you're a young person.
Yeah.
Okay, and
I'm single, not married.
Single, not married. Okay, but yet you also have youthful passions that they speak about in the Bible.
Yeah,
and today we're going to talk about sexuality, kind of a topic that we shy away from. But today we're going to talk straight.
Yes.
I mean, you as a young person, Christian, you want to live a sexual pure life.
Yes, right? Of course.
So tell us, what does it entail? What does it mean? I mean,
well, I think first of all, I think our church is sometimes the least place. What did you say? It would not be the first place you'd want to go to talk about sex. And I think that's sad. I think young people, especially young Christian people, should have a platform, or should have a place, a safe space where they can talk about sex. Because we all think about it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like you said, the media constantly bombards us with it. But if we think about what happened, or how God instituted or made sex something that was supposed to be kept within the boundaries of a marriage, you'd see that God, it was something that would be the highest, most intimate form of knowing someone.
Yeah.
I mean, we read that Adam knew his wife Eve, and they conceived. So it's somewhere, it's an act, and it's something much higher than just physical, like the world would have us think. I would think, I mean, if we start dating or courting, it would start somewhere where a friend, you know, we know each other mentally, like I know about you, and then we get to know each other maybe socially, and then emotionally, and then spiritually, and then physically.
Okay.
So physical, the physical part of it would be the last step,
okay,
and that's the most intimate step, I mean, we can take.
Mm.
But the world creates this counterfeit where the physical, the very last step where we're supposed to reach, is the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we short-circuit the system.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. And so, I mean, for everything that you say, everything that God has created beautiful, the devil has made something that's counterfeit.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
fake. So whatever we think about, I mean, anything that's not sexually pure, whether it's outside of the marriage, whether it's pre-marriage, if it's not what God created it to be, it's fake. Yeah. It won't give us the satisfaction that we think it would give us.
Yeah.
And it's just, it creates a wrong perception of what God created something to be beautiful and sacred. It's supposed to have stayed between two people.
Okay.
And that's
but
my
now,
thing.
I mean, how do you as a young person, I want to know from you, how do you live a sexual pure life in this world where sex is everywhere? I mean, wherever you go, go into a movie store or into a video store, go to the movies, just put on the TV, listen to music, sex is everywhere.
That's right.
Well, honestly, for myself, I think I've gotten to a place where I try and avoid movies or music or someplace. You know, if I know that there's something that's going to tempt me, I'm not going to place myself in that position where I know this is going to become a problem. Yeah. This is going to be, you know, an issue. But I think growing up, especially through puberty and adolescence, you do face temptations, which, of course, you always, maybe you, you get into a position where you really, you don't know what to do with your sexual temptations. You don't know what to, you know, and maybe you do follow after some things the world prescribes.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we all grow up and we all don't always make the right decisions. But once you've realized, well, this is something that's, it's hard to handle. You can't just do with it what you want. There's some, God has laid things in place.
Awesome.
And if you follow them correctly, I mean, he will just bless you more abundantly that the world even, you know, can make you think.
Right, but I've got to ask, because moving from one step to another, say I'm with my boyfriend and we're sitting there and we love each other so much and want to get to know each other, right?
Yes.
That was the whole idea of dating. Moving from one step to the next step to the next step to the next step, it's like it happens so fast, so quickly, you know. How do you avoid, how do you put yourself in a situation that doesn't have to topple over like that, you know? Because most of us, as soon as, by the time we're getting into that sexual situation, you get out and you're like, what, when did that happen, you know, kind of thing.
I think one of the most important things is to make decisions before you get into situations.
Right.
So train your mind, you know. I've decided to do this, well, I've decided not to do this.
Right.
And then stick with that. I know we tend to let our emotions take control once we get into that situation. And so by not making the decision we think, you know, or avoiding it as far as possible, then giving in would make it okay.
Right.
But to stick with it and make sure your partner or your boyfriend or your whoever, you know, you're courting or dating, knows that this is what you stand by. If they respect your choices that you've made, I mean, that would be just a bonus. That would make you... I would reassure you that the person really cares about you and loves you for you know, more than just sex or any physical activity.
Right.
But so now, I mean, we're talking about all the physical things, but what about the thoughts that you have? Mm. I mean, that's also to have to do with sexual purity. What if I don't even have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm hooked on porn.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about all these things all the time.
Sure.
You know, what would you do?
Yeah. That's quite an interesting thing. I think one of the things I've heard another pastor say was to use our energy, especially the time we think or that's spent thinking about sexual things or maybe even trying to get ourselves into situations where we're closer to temptation that we want, is to use that energy in something else.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, spend it exercising.
Right.
You know, take a walk, go run, go jog, just
do a marathon.
You know, go swim, go surf, whatever you find something that you know will take your mind off it. And do something productive.
Yeah.
Right. It's very idealistic to say that though. But in the situation it's very hard. I mean, we're sitting here, the two of us, and all of a sudden I want to now start going to jog. How realistic is that?
Yeah, true.
You see, we're in the situation is presented.
That's if you're alone.
Right.
Let's say, like, you were tempted to watch it porn, you know.
All right.
I mean, you can.
Okay.
The thing about pornography is because it's anonymous and you can, you know, it's available.
Right.
Whenever you know, you feel that tempted, that's, I mean, you've got time off. Oh, what am I going to do? Especially young people.
Yeah.
You know, no one's at home.
Right.
You know, what do I do? And so I think that's when you, I know I'm going to be tempted. Don't even switch on the computer.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, get outside, put on your shoes, and just take off.
Right.
Yeah.
It must be a very big discipline because I know people who are addicted.
Yes.
Like it's an addiction. Like they.
But maybe they should
take time.
See it as an addiction and take steps.
Exactly.
I mean, when you're addicted to drugs or to whatever, Yes. You'll take
get something to replace
proactive
it.
Steps right. to replace it. Right. But I think porn is such a seductive or such a deceptive addiction.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. You don't think it's that bad.
You don't. Right. No, that's true.
And it's more a natural one.
Yeah.
You see, the rest have to do with an maybe a plus or something. I have to go buy the alcohol or get a purchase, you know. But this one's more a natural one. So it's very hard to deal
Available.
With because it's right there, you know.
Yeah.
Everything's at your disposal. Very interesting. Well,
but I think that, especially like, say, pornography or any other sexual temptation, we are created as sexual beings.
Yes,
we shouldn't negate that fact that God created us this way, and we shouldn't see that as a bad thing.
Yeah.
Sex isn't a bad thing.
No.
But yet the lust is. That's sin.
Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue you would like to be addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That's awr@sidmedia.org.
We all have a sense that there has to be more to life than what we're experiencing. And you're very right. There's a lot more to it. All the evil that exists will be dealt away with. And we do have access to a much, much purer, a perfect world, actually. The purest that there is. And the Bible gives us a solution real easily. John 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." There you go. Simple as that. All you need to do is believe in this friend that I'm telling you about, Jesus. So I think you can now see that Jesus is more than just a good man. He's more than just a wise man. He was the only one who was able to atone or to be our substitute. Because of the dynamics of sin, each one of us was supposed to die. But Jesus said, you know what? Let me go there and I'll show these guys that they can live a perfect life. Now, because of this sacrifice, because of him taking my place, sometimes we're just so filled with this overwhelming peace, this overwhelming feeling of gratitude. And we just want to lift the name of Jesus high and just tell everyone about him. Before I leave, I want to leave you with this song, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." It just kind of reiterates the sacrifice that he made. Be blessed as you listen to this song.
Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue that you would like addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That is awr@sidmedia.org.
Remember, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.